So it's 2 weeks on. 2 weeks on from the triumph of the cross. And here we are. Here we are back at the seashore. Simon Peter and Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two others have all returned to the Sea of Galilee. And we're all sitting together with them as a family of disciples around the campfire. We're just sitting back and hanging out. Never the impetuous one, and a man after my own true heart, Peter suddenly looks up and says, "Guys, I'm going fishing." One by one we say, "Yeah, that's a good idea." And so we join him, and soon all of our boats are back out there on the water. "Follow me," Jesus said to us not so long ago, "and I will make you fish for people." But now we and the fishermen have returned from the people to our fish. 2 weeks ago, we began our celebration of Easter. Here at Holy Trinity, we began our celebration of the resurrection with certainly a lot more faith and hope than Mary or Simon Peter or that other disciple had in that first Easter Sunday morn. They were shell-shocked. They couldn't believe what had happened. "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him," Mary pleaded with the gardener, who turned out to be Jesus. "Do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to me," Jesus said to her in reply. But the inclination, the understanding that something absolutely earth-shattering has happened just doesn't seem to have fully sunk in, does it? The evening of the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples were where? They were back in that blessed upper room, locked behind a barred door. Behind a door, locked away from the world, the day Jesus rose from the dead. So much for believing in the earth-shattering power of the resurrection. Now 2 weeks more have passed. The disciples are no longer locked in that upper room. Simon and Thomas and Nathanael and James, they've now walked some 170 kilometers. They've walked 170 kilometers north in these last 2 weeks to the Sea of Tiberias from Jerusalem. The Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. That's about the distance roughly between here and North Bay. It's a long way to go for a fish. And first century roads, of course, were a far cry from Highway 17, even when it is flooded out. And so it took the disciples a little bit longer to plod the dusty tracks of Judea with their sandals, with their walking sticks. It took them a bit longer than the couple of hours it might take us to make that trip without thinking. They had tons of time to think. And I wonder what they thought about and talked about as they walked. Did the painful and confusing memories of the previous days in Jerusalem, did they begin to fade as they put some distance between themselves and the holy city? Were they still thinking and talking about what had happened? Were they trying to forget? Were they trying to struggle to make sense of what they had heard and seen? Because despite having seen Jesus, some having seen him twice, Thomas literally reaching out and touching his hand, touching his side, despite having seen Jesus following the resurrection, there seems to be a lot of confusion amongst the disciples about what to do now. What do we do next? Jesus sent us out and said, "Do not hold on to me." Do we know what that means? And so here we are today, gathered together beside the seashore in Galilee, gathered together in a familiar place, the place where we had fished every day until Jesus called us one by one and said, "I will make you fish for people." We're right back at the beginning, right back where it all started. Can we make things go back to the way things were? Can we remain unchanged? Of course, the answer is no, we can't. We can't remain unchanged. Easter has happened. The resurrection has happened. It is happening. Regardless of whether we feel certain about it or not, change is upon us. With the cross and the resurrection still standing tall before us, time has shifted. What is then is now. Rather than Easter being that day that we look forward to once a year, for we Christians, Easter is every single day. The sun rises every new morning, and we are reminded that on that first Easter Sunday morn, Jesus rose, and everything was changed. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, Jesus rises. Everything has changed. As if to remind us of that, to remind his family of that, Jesus appears to us this day on the beach of the Sea of Galilee. First, we don't know it's him. We're still out fishing. We're still out tending our nets, trying to see if we can go back to the way things were. And it's been a bad night, and we've caught nothing. Maybe we should give this all up. It's a waste of our time anyway, we say to ourselves. We haven't fished this spot in a whole 3 years. What makes us think we could just pick it back up and go back to where we began? And then this strange figure that's appeared to us on the beach, shouts out to us, "Have you caught anything?" "No," we shout back. "Cast the net to the right side of the boat," he shouts. "You will find some." We scratch our heads and we go, "Who is this guy? Really? We have been here all night. We know, we've grown up on this lake. We know all the spots." "Cast the net on the other side of the boat." But they do. They've got nothing to lose. And suddenly we with the disciples find ourselves heaving in an epic haul of fish. The gospel writer in John tells us there were so many fish that the disciples were not able to haul in the net for fear that it might break. This thing is overflowing to the brim. Abundance. Such abundance and grace. The disciples whom Jesus had invested so much time in and so much energy in over the last 3 years, they seem in the last 2 weeks to have abandoned everything. Jesus died and rose from the dead, and they literally touched his hand and touched his side. And where are they now? Back fishing. Back where they started 3 years ago, as if nothing has changed. But rather than get angry with them, rather than get judgy and pout and push them away, Jesus extends abundance to them. Jesus extends abundance that strains our capacity to pull the abundance in. It literally overflows. Because that is the nature of God's grace. That is what God's grace is. It is abundance. When you least expect it, when you least deserve it, when all hope is gone, when the waters are overflowing and literally up to your neck, when you've risked it all and lose, when you go back to the beginning and there are no fish to catch, when you are vulnerable and alone and you wonder why on earth you are here, God's grace and abundance overflows for you and for me. Not blame for having failed. Not guilt for feeling like there is no hope. Not shame nor judgment for feeling helpless and lost and confused. But overflowing and abundant grace. That is what our God greets us with this Easter morn. "My grace is sufficient for you," Jesus says to us this day. "My power is made perfect, not in your strength, but in your weakness, in your doubt, in your confusion." And then, as if to settle the matter for once and for all time, Jesus invites us back to the beach. He invites us back to the campfire on the beach, and he takes bread. He takes some fish. He passes it to us. He says, "Eat with me. Remember what happens when we eat together? Where two or three are gathered in my name. Do you remember what happens? Whenever you break bread and you eat, even in the midst of disaster, even in the midst of torrents of water, I am there. I'm here. Whenever you do this, you do it in memory of me. He is always here. In the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our uncertainties, in the midst of the raging floodwaters, Jesus shows up on the shore and invites us to break bread together. The Last Supper and this resurrection meal, they fold into one with the changing of time, and we find community and fellowship in each other. We see abundance and grace in each other. We see Christ in each other. And we remember that today is Easter, and tomorrow is Easter. And every time we gather around that table, it is Easter. This day, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that, until He shall come again. A few days after Jesus rose, two of His disciples, in the midst of their fear and confusion, they went for a walk out in a road to Emmaus. Soon they found themselves eating at a table with Jesus. And as the bread was broken and shared, their eyes were opened. And they realized that Jesus had been amongst them all along, overflowing with such grace and such abundance that their hearts literally burned with joy, the joy of His presence in their midst. May it be this day for us as it was for them. As we take the bread, as we drink the cup, may we see the timeless grace of Easter poured out for us this day, poured out in each of our lives, and in our lives lived in Him. Amen.